Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is the Goalkeepers Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union Podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle here, not with the voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee, but another very, very special guest who's, of course, been on the podcast many times before. It is Mr. David Rouse.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, thank you. Very good. For the first time, we are in your humble abode. And what a lovely, pleasant place it is, I must say myself.
We've got the Christmas lights up. It's very Christmassy. Obviously, you know, 1st of December, need to have that vibe. Hopefully, the goalkeepers can show us that Christmas vibe as well.
Absolutely. So, just a quick look at the decor here in this conservatory. I can see on the wall, we have an N-Power medal. That's from your time as goalkeeper coach at QPR.
Yes, pride of place there. That was the season we got promoted. Record number of clean sheets, record lack of goals conceded. Great season from Paddy Kenny. We had a great goalkeeping group. Paddy Kenny, Radek Cherney, Elvins Putlins. Fantastic. Really, really great season.
That's the one on the left, is Elvins.
Elvins, yeah, young Latvian goalkeeper. Ended up playing a lot of non-league football, never really made his mark. He was one of those unbelievable in training, just didn't quite manage to get it out on a match day.
This is kind of smack bang in the middle of that four-year plan, as we've all seen the documentary, of course, which you're in,
yes.
In certain parts, you're in the background.
I'm hidden.
Yeah,
in the back. That four-year plan was a four-year plan because we happened to get promoted in 4 years. If it had been 3 years, it would have been the three-year plan. five-year plan. I'm in there sparingly because whenever the cameras turned up, basically, and if you ever see it, the chaos in that time at QPR, the cameras would turn up ahead of something controversial happening. If a manager was going to get sacked, if there was something going on with the owners, the cameras got their heads up early doors. So as a staff and players, we hated when they turned up because we knew something was going to happen. And I think the first couple of times we'd had that, they came on the training field over to where the goalkeepers were working, and I just give the shout to the lads and we would half volley balls at the camera until they went off to somewhere else. And the director absolutely hated me because I think we broke a couple of cameras that particular season. Honestly, what you see in the four-year plan was chaos, was utter nonsense. But the truth is that the owners had directorial edit over that. So the truth was even worse. You know, what you see out there on that film, you know, what went on behind the scenes was even crazier.
Really, because we have the fluffier versions these days, don't we, on Amazon Prime and whatever platform it is that you want to have a football documentary on. And they say it's very much behind the curtain, but it's not really. I mean, the approval that these clubs have make it so that we might see the odd nugget here and there, but essentially it's what they want you to see. With this one, so you're saying it was raw, because it was very raw when you watch it back now, but it could have been even more exposed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we actually saw, the staff saw that, like, the unedited version, and, you know, we were all, like, completely shocked. We were in it, you know, obviously we're in it, so you don't realise quite how bad it is and the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. And we were saying, well, look, you know, if they've got edit over this, there's no way any of this is getting out. And then when we were actually taken to a cinema in Kensington for, like, the premiere, and, you know, was so shocked what they'd left in. I mean, it was great because for football fans, you're getting to see stuff that, like you say, would usually get edited out. It would be, you know, the fluffy version. You wouldn't see the chaos and the nonsense that goes behind the scenes. But wow, yeah, it was. And to be involved at that time, and actually have that sort of record of it is brilliant to look back at that. And to be honest, when I first saw it back, you know, a lot of it made me angry. Now I can look at it and have a little bit of a giggle, just thinking about what went on.
Okay. I think there's going to be plenty more of that to come out over the next year or so. Rousey, we're going to have many more of these Between the Sticks with you featuring. So plenty more QPR stories. And of course, your time with Stoke, with Northern Ireland, with the City Group, with Manchester United. There's loads.
Yes. Yes, there is a lot. There is a lot. A lot of stories that probably won't make it onto air, but plenty that will, certainly.
Good stuff. On with the show. Okay, as per, David, we are going to start in the Premier League. So, Emi Martinez first. Aston Villa 1, Wolves 0. And we're starting with a save of the weekend contender, because the Argentinian made a very good stop from Jean-Ricner Bellegar, but it was, prior to that, the save from Yerson Mosquera. The header onto the bar. Emi Martinez effectively just doing what Emi Martinez does. This was a fantastic save.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's be honest. You want your goalkeepers to make big saves at big moments in big games. Martinez made the save in the World Cup final, as we know, in the last minute, you know, the last seconds. That is going to be the biggest save up until the next World Cup. But this, again, is outstanding. The thing that I love about this is, and it's a trend now in the game with goalkeepers, where he's dropped closer to his line to give himself time to deal with it. He can see where the ball's getting delivered into. He's had a quick head turn and got his positioning off that. But that drop to the line gives him that time to deal with the ball. You go back 10, 15 years even, it was all about goalkeepers coming up the line and getting closer to it and closing down the angles. The ball moves so fast, you need reaction time. And this save is from that. I mean, it's fantastic the way he drops off and just reacts to it. But then it's also when the ball hits the bar and comes back down, the speed of thought to get his hand to just get it away from danger, because that save means nothing if it goes rebounded back past him. So, yeah, excellent work.
This is how you separate the elite from the next level down, isn't it, with the likes of a Martinez, because every season he makes one or two of these outstanding stops.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at goalkeepers and you want to bring a goalkeeper to the Premier League, you're talking about the you know, the best league in the world, you've got to have goalkeepers that can make these saves on a regular basis. You know, this is the difference between the top and, you know, the next level down, is being able to do these saves on, you know, week in, week out, when it really counts. And you know, this is massive from Martinez.
On to the game at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea 1, Arsenal 1, and two similar stops from Rob Sanchez. So one low to his right from Gabriel Martinelli, one low to his left from Mikel Merino. Took a real whack after that one as well. Two very good saves. Interested to know whether you've got any thoughts initially on the starting set position, I suppose, for both.
Well, I mean, look, the thing is, we talk about, you know, the modern game. What's key here on the first save is how high Sanchez is up the pitch to start with as the play starts to build up. And this is a massive skill of his. There's been lots of times over the last two seasons where he's cut out through balls, he's cut out high balls, because he's been really aggressive with his start position. And he's not had to make so many of these big saves because he's snuffed out the attack before it's happened. On this way, it's brilliant. He gets back to a really good position. Might not be the ideal position, but, you know, this is the thing. I talk with young goalkeepers. Your position isn't always going to be ideal, but your position needs to be set, ready, balanced before the shot is hit. And this is brilliant from him here. You know, the agility to send himself back in the other direction. The other thing is, this type of save, this isn't a step and reach. This is one where he's swept his foot out from under him to get his hand down as quickly as possible. You know, he's a big guy. You'd see some goalkeepers would be literally going for balls like this with a foot save, but he gets down so quickly. The second save, again, is exactly the same, where he's dropped his leg out from under him so quick to get his hand down. But even with that, his weight's forward as quickly as he can, his top shoulder's over so that he can react to the second, and makes a really brave, you know, second save. Outstanding work.
Is there a specific time? So the technique, we're just watching it back now, that technique, like you say, where he sweeps his legs from underneath him in order to execute that technique. Is there a specific time and a place you're asking your goalkeepers to do that?
Well, look, I mean, look, I've said about, you'll have some goalkeepers that maybe all the height is in the legs, and something that close to their body, they might be looking at the foot safe and stretching out a foot safe. When you've got the speed that Sanchez has, you're going to get your hand down to that. That kind of save is when the ball's within your arc. So I say within your arc, if you imagine you lay down on the floor on one side up to your standing position and lay down on the other side, that's your arc. So he's not having to load and dive beyond his arc. It's just within that. So within that there, you can get your legs out from underneath you and get down to the ball without having to push away. But that's a skill in itself, because it's knowing that the ball's close enough to you to do that. You'll see sometimes where goalkeepers will try that technique and the ball's outside the line of the body and it looks like they don't dive anywhere and they end up getting beaten by it. It's interesting because you look in the second save that he makes, there's the two techniques in one. So he makes that first save and then you see him get up and spring to the second ball to get to it. So there's an example of inside your arc, dropping down to it, and then outside of your arc, springing to it.
Okay, the Hill Dickinson Stadium, a heavy defeat for Everton at home to Newcastle. Everton 1, Newcastle 4. And Nick Pope, obviously out of the team. Aaron Ramsdale in now, potentially for a few weeks. But it was at the other end, Jordan Pickford, who just kind of had one of those. It's funny with Jordan Pickford, isn't it? Because when he's good, he's really good. And sometimes when he has an off day, it seems to all be compounded and he just has one of those Jordan Pickford performances.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've got lovers and haters of Jordan Pickford. I'm a lover of Jordan Pickford. He's always there for Everton when they need him. He's dug them out of so many tough games and made big saves. This week, everything conspired against him. There was some poor goalkeeping in there, some poor decisions, but also that the balls that he had to deal with were difficult. So the first one, you know, where you see he's going to come for the corner and he kind of drops in. It seems to me there he just gets affected by the player that's on him and he gets drawn into a little bit of battle for him, and it looks to me like it does enough to take his focus away. When the ball comes in, it's a great delivery and I know it goes above his head. I just think on that he hasn't got time to react. You know, he has got a tendency of being very active with his movements in goals. He can be, you know, it's a strength how quick he is in around the goal and his movement, but also there's times where he can be moving too much, and that, you know, that one there, certainly on the next ball that comes in and the headed finish, again, you're just looking at, he gets drawn into coming to the ball and then drop off and then the finish goes in. I would have liked him, once he started to come for that ball, just go for it, follow through with it, and if he gets a touch on it, brilliant. But that one as a goalkeeper, you know, as soon as you get drawn out to it and then back in again, you know you're going to get punished.
I think it was the second goal, wasn't it, from Lewis Miley, the one where James Tarkowski is in front of him. They were having a discussion, obviously, because we've seen this happen once before this season. What are you making of Pickford's technique here as the ball's come in towards him?
This is the one where he's bouncing too much. So you can see as the play's building up, he's bouncing, he's trying to get the timing of his set there, and he just gets caught moving when the ball's struck. Now you're looking at all the horrible things that happens. It gets hit into the turf, gets speed coming off there. You've got Tarkowski in front of him. To be fair to Tarkowski, he's not sure how to deal with that ball because it comes up at arm height, so he can't stick an arm out. But having somebody in your iron line like that, even if they don't touch it, causes you a nightmare. And then you can just see that Pickford then's just caught in, you know, in between techniques. Does he try to block it? Does he try to catch it? Look, yes, he's got to do better, but it's one of those where he just needs to get behind the ball. You know, he's got his hands moving towards the ball. There's too many moving parts. With all that's gone on before that, trying to move your hands to the ball to pad it away, you just want to be standing behind it and let it hit you, as daft as that sounds. But I just think for him on the day, it was just a few really difficult balls and it's just caught him out. You know, you watch him next game, he'll have an absolute worldie and have situations like that that he deals with perfectly. It's just one of those like perfect storm for a goalkeeper.
And that's a testament to him and his character, isn't it? Because that's one of the things that you can say about Jordan Pickford is that even in the game, yes, he's potentially made a couple of errors after he's made errors, but it doesn't affect him. He cracks on. There is an argument that some fans get slightly annoyed with the fact that he laughs and smiles and grins when these mistakes are happening, as he did in that game at the weekend. But he's got such a mindset that, as you say, it won't affect him at all.
Yeah, so that reaction with him laughing, that is just like, oh my God, I can't believe that. You know, that's like, this is such a ridiculous, you know, goal that's gone in. How has it gone in? And that's just his reaction. But it's good in that respect because, yeah, trust me, when he's called upon in the next game, he'll be there and he will not worry a jot about those goals that he's conceded. And once again, he'll be there to save Everton and England, as he always does.
Crystal Palace 1, Manchester United 2, and Dean Henderson from celebration to despair. So he celebrated inside the opening 2 minutes or so, I think it was, with the fans after making a save from a scramble with Casemiro. Whether that's just Dean Henderson being Dean Henderson and pumped up and playing against his old club or just the way that he is, I don't know. But United then came back into the game. They equalised through Joshua Zirkzee. Just keen to hear your thoughts on this. Was that just a difficult technique for Henderson to execute based on where Zirkzee was shooting from and the position that he'd taken up?
Look. For me, that's down to not getting drawn up the line of the ball. So we're talking about how brilliant Martinez was, you know, dropping off, giving himself time, Sanchez dropping into position. That one there, again, there's a little bounce like Pickford had, but he's bounced up the line of that shot and he's well outside the line of his post there. Now, look, as goalkeepers, we close the ball down to make the goal smaller. We're closing down the angle. But when the ball's that far wide, the target's small for the striker anyway. So you don't need to close down. All that then that closing down does is kill your reaction time. And on this one, for me, he's just got drawn to the ball. He's got that little bounce as the ball's about to get hit as well. And he's just got very little time to react. And you can see that. It's beating him for pace. It's an awkward angle, the finish and that. It's a, you know, decent shot. But he's killed his reaction time. Like, for me there, for a goalkeeper, I'm saying get your bum level with a post. So that if you need to dive to the post, you're going to be in front of it. You're not diving into your net, but you don't need to be any higher than that. And as of the celebration, it's become commonplace now where goalkeepers will celebrate their saves, and why not? Okay, why not? But you always know that if you're doing that in the second minute, something's going to come back and bite you there. Mm. It's like, I say to, it's funny because I was in a League One training ground this week, and there was a young goalkeeper in the session, and I just got asked to give him some feedback, and he was, every time something didn't go quite right for him, he was giving himself a hard time. You could hear him like chuntering onto himself when it didn't go right. He was making a brilliant save and then didn't say anything, and I went over to him and I said, oh, when you made that brilliant save, why weren't you like, yes, come on? And he looked at me like I was an idiot and said, well, why would I do that? And I'm like, well, why would you do it when you've not done something well? But it's just as ridiculous as each other. If you have a really bad error, you know, you shouldn't have a massive reaction to it. If you have a great save, do you need a massive reaction to it? I'm kind of like, I like to see it, that passion, but at the same point, it's like, well, I want my goalkeepers to be level. I want them to be in the moment, focused. It's more a case of, you go back in the day where a goalkeeper would make a fantastic save and everybody's coming up giving them a high five, ball's gone out for a corner and you've got the goalkeeper saying, no, just get in your position, let's focus on the next thing. I think I'm more in that camp. But look, it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm caught in the middle, I think, somewhere on this, because you don't want to curtail anyone's enthusiasm. I love that. And if it works for you, it works for you. At the same time, I think it's great to engage the crowd. I think it's actually not rocket science to win a crowd over just by doing this occasionally from time to time. However, on this occasion with Dean Henderson, And look, also, I would say it's great to have characters in the game as well, because we are losing that. So it's great to have people who are just a little bit different, because football is an entertainment business. You know, that's why we watch it. But with this one, I just think, like you say, inside the opening couple of minutes, yes, it was a good stop, but let's just crack on and continue as you mean to continue. I also think that the more you do it, when you make a save like this and it's so early in the game, I feel like it loses the impact slightly with Dean Henderson, because if you're doing this game after game, as early as he was doing it in the game, yeah, I just feel like it reduces that impact slightly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably like you here, where I love that when goalkeepers celebrate it, and you know, because you see that character in that, but it's just that knowing that it's going to come and bite you, you know. So like, if you're Erling Haaland and you celebrate a goal in the first minute, okay, you could have a stinker for the next 89 minutes. Nobody's going to say anything. But if you're the goalkeeper that makes a save in that first minute and you're celebrating, and then you go and have a stinker after that, you are expecting the crowd to be on your back. And you know what the questions are going to be in the media, you know, the next day, about overly celebrating, and then it's affected the rest of your game. It's great if it works for you. But if it doesn't, you are going to get bitten by it.
Mm. Okay. Manchester City 3, Leeds 2. I just wanted to touch on this, not specifically because of the action, but Daniel Farke and his comments towards Gianluigi Donnarumma. I don't know whether you saw this, but he had issues with the fact that at a certain point in the game, Donnarumma went down and, in his opinion, feigned injury. The argument being that City were able to have a meeting, they were able to regroup, go again and win the game, as they did. We've spoken about this a few times on the pod before, but where do you stand on goalkeepers going down with, in inverted commas, an injury?
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. It does need to be out of the game. I hate it because, look, it's put on the goalkeeper to do it. I've been to a couple of games this season where it's happened, and everybody knows it's not an injury. Everybody can see it. I mean, there was one point, I think the assistant manager at one game had literally got up, walked halfway down the line, and gestured to the goalkeeper. And you could see he was gesturing to him to go down. And it was like the time the ball went anywhere near him, he's gone down. And everybody knew, and the crowd are booing. And at this point, to be fair, the crowd really got on the goalkeeper's back at this point. And I'm thinking, you know, this just doesn't need to happen. You know, it's when you see it at the top level, you know, somebody like Pep, I hate seeing that from him, because he'll talk about it, and he's been, you know, one of those that will talk about gameplay and gamesmanship, and he'll have a go at people doing this and doing that. But for him to do it as well, it's like, come on. That, for me, that's not part of the beautiful game. Feigning injury for whatever reason is not part of the beautiful game. And the fact that it's, you know, in our realm, in goalkeeping, no, let's get rid of it. You know, I don't want goalkeepers that I work with having to do that. It should just not happen.
Mm. It's just difficult, isn't it? Because what's the result here? What's the outcome? What's the alternative? What's the solution if a goalkeeper goes down? I think Danny Murphy said on Match of the Day that an outfielder has to go off for a period of time or something like that. But yeah, it's tough. Like, how do you resolve that?
Look, it's tough because you have to, you know, you do have times when goalkeepers go down injury. You know, they've you know, and that's clear, but it's just a common sense from the referee to say, right, I don't know. Or if a goalkeeper goes down injury, you know, maybe there's a, you know, you're not allowed to go and speak to the line. Because that's the thing. I mean, if they say, all right, if goalkeeper goes down injured, you can't go over to the sideline. Well, that's it gone straight away. Mm. You know, and that doesn't, you know, it can be a genuine injury. It can be whatever, you know, and they can say, well, they're going over getting a drink. They don't need to do that. It's just, if you just take that out, where it's like, right, goalkeeper goes down injured, you stay in your positions, you don't go to the sideline, that's it. Kills it straight away.
Yep, fully agree. Finally, in the Premier League, Tottenham 1, Fulham 2. Guglielmo Vicario. So this, not particularly pleasant to watch. In fact, we're going to give it one of these.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper, keeper.
So the goal from Harry Wilson, the winner for Fulham. The sarcastic, well, I mean, there were jeers afterwards, weren't there, when he next came to kick the ball out. Apparently, there were boos as well. He came out to talk after the game, Vicario, which I thought was really brave, took accountability. But, yeah, firstly, the error for not kicking the ball out of play? And secondly, your opinion on those sarcastic jeers, which we never like to hear.
Look, this is part of modern goalkeeping. The way goalkeepers are being asked to play, to take more risks on the ball, to try and keep possession, to change the play. It's fine in certain situations, but all that happens is the pressure's been put back on the goalkeeper. You've got to remember that, you know, you're the last line of defence. So if you misplace a pass, you know, you're going to leave your goal open. And in this case, you know, look, I mean, at the time, it's quite ironic that a couple of minutes later, he has a situation which shows how he should have dealt with it. Once you come out that far outside of your goal, the first thing in your mind should be whatever you do next protects your goal, because you've got a long way to get back. So it's difficult there. If he just chips it out for a throw-in, and they take a quick throw, we've seen it before where somebody takes a quick throw and you know, gets put into the empty net, it's difficult. So I understand that he wants to clear it down the line, but it looks like he's trying to keep it in play and find a player. Just get it somewhere safe. You know, the old Rose Edge shout, just get it out of there and then get back as soon as you can. The second one, he does exactly what he should do. You know, he comes out to the ball, there's pressure on, just get it safe, protect your goal. But this is the thing, he's probably been told, you know, that he's got to play at all costs, to take risks, you know, and, the, you know, a lot of times in those situations, the manager will come out and say, well, look, this is how we're expecting him to play. So, we'll back him for whatever. And you used to get that all the time when Edison first did it, and Alisson as well, playing, you know, Cavalier passes out from the back, and Pep was like, well, look, if we lose the ball and they score, you know, no problem. But there just becomes a line where it's like, your first job is to protect your goal.
What's your process as a goalkeeper coach then with a Vicario in this situation, both at half-time and at full-time? And would you have approved him going out and speaking after the game as well?
It's not. I suppose it's not about approving. Look, it's shown good courage from him to go and front it up in front of the media. Fair play. Look, my thing with that situation, it depends what your team ethos is. You know, you have some teams where they will, you know, the manager stipulates, I want my goalkeepers to play 100% all the time, must be like this, you know. And I would always, when I've been in those situations, I would always argue that there comes a point of like sanity over this. You know, my view on goalkeepers overplaying and playing is, why are we playing out? What's the reason for it? You know, what's the benefit for it? If we're just playing out for playing out sake, then it's always going to come back and bite you. The way that Man City started it years back with Edison, look, he had an unbelievable array of passes. He had the ability to spot a pass early, but it wasn't just so that they could play through the thirds and get up the field, because if he saw Aguero one-on-one at the back, he'd hit a ball 70 yards to him. All it's about doing is creating overloads and shifting players so that you get the numerical advantage closer to their goal. That's what it's for. But if you've already got the numerical advantage close to their goal, then play direct. You know, you're seeing a lot of times now, goalkeepers are playing out into impossible scenarios where they've actually got the same number of players against the opposition. The opposition have put an extra man into the press and they might have left themselves 2-on-2 at the back. Brilliant. Well, then we'll play over the back of the back line and we've got a two-on-two attack, which is something that, again, you go back, you would never want to leave yourself bare like that. But because teams are looking to play out in crazy spaces, teams will look to press in crazy spaces. I think you're seeing it more with teams like City now, with Donnarumma, hasn't quite got the passing range of Edison. So they're not playing the same kind of football, that there is more direct play. You've got Haaland, who's an absolute fantastic target man and can make that run in behind. So why not use it?
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling. But when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process. From syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns, automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where they may have conceded a combined 5 goals, but Max Crocombe and Gavin Bazunu both put in a shift in Millwall's victory over Southampton. So Crocombe flying to deny Adam Armstrong, Finn Azaz and Jay Robinson. Bazunu with a brilliant stop from a deflected Mihailo Ivanovic shot in the first half. Jamie Cumming with 2 big saves and a massive win for Oxford against Ipswich. George Hurst and Ivan Azon kept out from close range. Really good solid goalkeeping from him. Ivor Pandor really coming into his own at Hull. Sauber Thomas and Bajan Ho both prevented from giving Stoke a 2-goal lead at the Bet365. So Hull fought back to win the game 2-1. Absolute scenes at the end of that one. And Dan Everson winning the 1v1 battle with Bailey Kadamatari when he was clean through. That would have put Sheffield Wednesday 3-1 up against Preston. Everson then saved Charlie McNeil's spot kick after Preston had equalised. They went on to win the game 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, this save from Bazunu is excellent. He's halfway through a save and had to make an adjustment for the reaction. I mean, it's for the deflection. This is what he's got in the locker. So he's taken a massive step, big power dive, and just had to extend a huge wingspan. But this is what he's got. It's great to see this because, you know, he's had injuries over the last couple of years. He's been in and out of the team. But I love these saves from him. It's great. And then, look, this one from Jamie Cumming. This is the one there where, look, he's in a really good high position. He's aggressive. He's looking if the ball's going to carry through to him. When it doesn't, you know, he's ready on the touch to close down. And this is the thing now where we talk about dropping off and closing space. He's done brilliantly to close down the space, get as close to the striker as he can before the shots hit, and make a really brave spread. And then when you look at the one that comes into the near post, again, he holds a really good position. He's ready for the cutback. And with this one here, if it gets cut back any farther out, he'll probably drop off to react. But he can see in his eye line that player making the run to the near post and just gets himself in there. You know, when I talk about goalkeepers doing one-on-ones, it's all about time and distance. So the first thing you want to do as a goalkeeper is, can you go and smother the ball? Can you win it first? That's your first thing there. If you can't, can you get inside a close distance so that all the striker can do is hit you? If you can't do either of those two things, then it's, can you drop off to a distance where you can actually stand and react? And you'll see where goalkeepers get beaten on one-on-ones. Most times it'll be where they get caught at those distance of death, like 5 or 6 yards, where it's easy for the striker to just pick you off. But it's having that ability. Can you manage those distance? You know, and Jamie does ever so well in both of these in just blocking out the space. Everson again. This is the one now. And we talk about this spread. You can call it the K spread. You can call it the handball spread, however you want. It's coming over the last 10, 15 years into goalkeeping. And for me, the use of this is when you're coming straight down the line of the ball and the forward's looking to finish. And it's got to be a moving block. So you'll get some goalkeepers where they'll get beaten, where they just throw the shape at that distance I was talking about, 5, 6 yards. And it's brilliant. Andy Marshall was talking about this the other day, and he calls it the charity block because you're just giving up the goal. because you're not close enough to actually block anything out and you just throw a shape. But this one here from Iverson is how you execute it perfectly, where just as the striker's looking to pull the trigger, you get inside that distance, throw yourself forward into the ball and make a big spread. Excellent save.
The charity block. I like that charity one. Block. That's a new one for the Glossary.
Oh, listen, Marshy came up with this, and I'm going to be using that again and again and again, because it's right. Look, it's something that came in. You saw, you're going back years now, Pepe Reina with that spread and going into a handball shape. To a certain degree, Schmeichel had used it back long time ago. It was a Scandinavian thing because they play a lot of handball over there. But the reason why they make that shape in handball is because the ball is thrown so quickly, you've got no time to actually react to the ball. So you're just trying to make the biggest shape you can. That's fine in goalkeeping, but you have to be close enough. And you have to be closing down that block. If not, it's a charity block.
Okay, we'll quickly mention Pandur just because of, I think, more so the second save from Bajan Ho, which was, very, very good. He got up and gave it a bit of a shake of the head, obviously not happy with his defence, but he's really, after not a difficult start to life at Hull, the playing out was extreme when he first arrived at the club, and there were some question marks over whether he could do it in the Championship, but I think he's shown, certainly over the past 18 months or so, that, he absolutely can.
Certainly. And look, people don't realise, but I think that the Championship is one of, if not the toughest league in the world for a goalkeeper to come into. You've got such a mix of styles, playing styles. You've got teams that have been in the Premier League come back down, so you've got speed of play, quality of play. There's more physicality in it in some games. So your game has got to be, pretty robust. Yes, he was a victim of overplaying, as we've mentioned already, and that didn't help him. Mistakes were coming not so much from his goalkeeping, but from his possession play. The change in management has helped him to not have to do too much of that and not force play. And his goalkeeping's come to the forefront. I think his recent call up to Croatia has massively helped that. Speaking to friends I've got Hull, they say that he came back with a real sort of skip and real sort of fire in his belly from that. Because he thought maybe even in the Championship he might get overlooked. But to go in there, and from what I hear, when he went in, he felt that, he didn't look out of place. And when he's making saves like this, I mean, look, it is a fantastic save. He's so fast to get his step in and drive. And he's attacking the ball early in its flight. And it's a massive, massive save.
Into League One, where Ben Hinchliffe made an unorthodox hamstring / calf kind of save from Adam Phillips. That was a volley at home to Barnsley. Was it lucky? Was it improvised? Was it simply a good save? Or was it a bit of all three? I'll let you decide that one. It ended one apiece. Sam Tickle with an early stop as Wigan held tabletop as Stevenage. Dan Kemp's header tipped over inside 5 minutes. A series of saves from Liam Roberts in a 3-0 away defeat. Yes, a defeat for Mansfield at the hands of Cardiff. It could have been a lot worse, which is why we are mentioning Roberts here. Top stuff from David Turnbull's zinger in the first half and somehow keeping out an open goal for Youssef Salek in the second. And Sam Walker, another mention for him, another clean sheet, this time at home to Exeter. An important stop 15 minutes from time from Jack Aitchison. Really good reactions to keep it at 1-0.
Right, so this save from Ben Hinchcliffe, I mean, this goes down as a good badden. What happened there kind of thing. You can see he gets completely lost. The ball's, the ball's dipping into him. Players in his way. Is it going to take a touch? And it looks like he gets caught between about a dozen different techniques here. Look, this is the one now. We've talked about Pickford before. Very similar. But he's just got away with it. And how? I mean, how it's just jammed in between his calf and the floor and he's just picked up and got on with the game. I think that's one afterwards where you're saying I'd rather be lucky than good. If I was Pickford, looking back at that, what happened to him, and then looking at that and say, there but for the grace of God, that could have easily been, I could have got lucky with that. But yeah, freak, but take it. Sam Tickle, excellent. All right, he's been churning out the performances season after season, game after game. This is a good one here where he can't come for the cross. So he drops into really good position. Again, we're saying about, you know, getting the depth right. And this gives him time to react. It's, you know, it's made more difficult because the header's down into the ground, as you know, you teach forwards to do. And then it's bouncing back up and he's got to now make a save over his shoulder. So excellent reactions. Sam Walker, again, what I like about Sam is he's a steady goalkeeper. He's solid, but he makes big saves as well. You know, you look at this save, it looks, okay, first glance, it looks fairly easy, but it's easy because, again, his depth's spot on. But when the shots hit, he's calm, he's ready, he's balanced, and he's able to go and attack the ball, gets good early contact on it, gets it safe. Solid goalkeeping. For Liam Roberts, look, this is, again, these all link in. So we talk about playing out ridiculous from the back and getting caught out. This is the one where goalkeepers are getting put under more and more pressure because they'll play out and you get a defender who's got nowhere to go. So they then give it back to the goalkeeper who's in the worst position possible. And like in this one, I mean, not only does it, you know, give him when he's got a man closing him down, but he puts it outside his left foot, has a bad touch, where there's nothing he can do there. But what a recovery save. You know, this is the one there where, look, it's an empty net, but as you said, he had a fantastic game. This is, you know, probably the highlight of his whole game. They still got beaten, but, you know, it would have been a cricket score if it hadn't been for Robert.
And finishing in League Two, where there were three penalty saves. So Joe Day in a 2-0 defeat for Cheltenham at Colchester. James Belshaw in a 1-1 draw for Harrogate at Barnet. Save from Mark Shelton at 1-0. And Matty Young from Harry McCurdy in a ding-dong battle between Salford and Crawley. So Crawley took the lead, Salford equalised. Then came the pen save. Salford nudged in front minutes later. Then Crawley were 3-2 up. Two goals in 2 minutes won the game for Salford. Killaroos, the hero for Notts County, again the nemesis for Bristol Rovers striker Ellis Harrison, constantly kept at bay by Roos in what turned out to be a late victory for Notts. And finishing up, I think the story arguably of the weekend, although this was the Thursday as things now pan out with the EFL's fixtures, Joe Murphy, now 44 years old, beat Grimsby 2-1 at Grimsby. Some performance.
Oh, listen, let's just talk about Joe Murphy. The you know, in the goalkeeping world, you know, goalkeeping coaches, goalkeepers, you know, you can't give this guy enough praise. I mean, he's 44. You know, it's not, it's such a difficult position. It's, you know, it requires power, it requires speed, agility. You know, you expect those things to sort of die off when you're getting into your late 30s, let alone 40s. But these saves that he's making, you know, they belie his age. You know, it's just superb reactions. The one thing that you expect that he's going to have is experience and anticipation. But, oh my God, you know, I'm just looking at these clips back again and, you know, take my hat off to the man. He's just doing absolute wonders. I mean, the thing is, if he was in his early 20s doing these sort of things, people would be watching these performances and saying, well, he should be playing higher. And that's the scary thing. This isn't like an old guy who's getting away with it. He's looking that good that if I'm a League One club, if I'm a Championship club, I'm looking at, we should be bringing this guy in.
Matty Young at Salford.
Yeah, great save from Young with Salford. He's had a really good season. Look, we're talking about exciting goalkeepers down in League Two. You've got, you know, we've got a 44-year-old who we're talking about being exciting. At the other end of the spectrum, you've got Young, who's obviously on loan from Sunderland, who is putting in performances week in, week out. He's one to look at. But, you know, if I'm in League One, if I'm in the Championship, looking for his next loan, because I'm sure that Sunderland want to, as they've done so well with their goalkeepers in the past, Jordan Pickford being one of them, they'll be looking to extend his loan pathway. And, yeah, clubs need to be looking at him because he's, you know, like I say, making big saves. That's an excellent save on the penalties, you know, showing great power, really strong hand to that ball and attacking it, you know, those reactions. But, you know, you watch him week in, week out, he's doing this.
On to Killaroos for Notts County. Big saves here.
Yeah, listen, Killaroos, is, you know, he's had a good career so far. Obviously with Derby, played a lot of non-league before that. He's had a fair bit of criticism this season. I think it's, you know, he's had some questionable performances. So I love a comeback story. I love a goalkeeper sort of saying, right, come on then, roll him you know, your sleeves up and actually putting the performance in. This performance was top draw. And this, you know, this save that we, you know, that we're looking at here, top hand save, the reaction one to his left hand side, like brilliant. You know, it's great to see.
Clean Sheet Club.
Yes, it is that time for Clean Sheet Club. No Richard here this week, of course, so I will crack on as per. Starting in the Premier League, Emi Martinez, claret and blue blank, Bart Verbruggen, Gooden, Alison Becker, first since September. Into the Championship, where there was only one this weekend, believe it or not. There is a game this evening, so there might be potentially two more, but as things stand, Rally Vitek as sweet as Ek. Into League One, Joel Pereira, 2-3, Sam Walker, back-to-back, Killian Cahill, killing it, Nathan Trott, Asa Kanter, George Wickens, culturally curious, Rots Fitzsimmons, holding it down, Sam Tickle, five alive, and Philip Marshall, hat-trick. And in League Two, Ollie Wright, stuff, Kellerus, no more booze, and Matt Macy, not another Simon Tracy. There we go, that last one for rhyming purposes only. But I'm guessing you might know Simon Tracy.
Yeah, of course I do.
Yeah.
Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Goalkeeping coach as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it Man City? I thought he was at Man City for a while, but not that long, was it?
No, it was. He came in for one emergency game. They lost 5-0 to Man United at Old Trafford. I was at the game.
Were you?
And I think three of the goals were rebounds from him.
The old demolition derby. Yes, there were, because Kanchelskis scored a hat-trick, didn't he?
The other key thing from that game was on the bench for Manchester City was John Burridge. And he spent the whole of the first half doing combinations of sit-ups in front of the tunnel in the corner of Old Trafford.
No.
Yes. 45 minutes.
Gosh, that was 94-95. I think he remains, doesn't he, the oldest goalkeeper to have ever played in the Premier League. I think for Leeds, I want to say, in the inaugural campaign, which was 92-93, which means 2 years on, he was still involved on the bench. Yeah. At Old Trafford, that's remarkable. Yeah. He was right in front of the dugout, was he?
You know, it wasn't in front of the dugout. It was in front of the, you know, they've got the tunnels in the corner.
Oh, in the corner.
Right. I was there in the Stretford end. I think it might have been standing by then. But yeah, it was, you know, for me, I just remember Simon Tracy having a bad day of it. Yeah, do you know, I'm thinking about the different loans that happened that season. I think, if I remember right, did Fraser Digby play for Man United in a game?
I don't know whether he played in a game. He definitely went on loan to Man United, yeah,
from
that
Swindon.
Season. That's from Swindon, yes.
Yeah, yeah. That was you've got some strange loans happening, but John Burridge was the one, you know, probably. I mean, yeah, but he's saying this, he was probably 44 then, or something like that, and yet you've got Joe Murphy, like.
Mm.
And in fairness, John Burridge couldn't move. When you see that game he played where he was the oldest goalkeeper at that time, he looked like an old man in the sticks. He was, you know, lack of mobility. And like when goals were going past him, it was like watching, you know, your over 50s World Cup kind of thing. But when you see, you're watching Murphy now, it's brilliant.
You just love those stories, don't you? I think of other ones in the Premier League. Andy Gorham turned out for United, didn't he, for a period. Yeah. There were Peter Shilton was on the bench at West Ham, I think, and Coventry. We briefly discussed that on the pod that we did with Shilts. I just love to see the old campaigners still doing their thing.
Neville Southall was getting on. Steve Grizovic. You know, Steve Grizovic, I'm sure he was 39 or 40 playing in a full season for Coventry. I know he started a little bit later, didn't he? But even so, you know, got the most out of it. I think it's just now. You know, if I'm got the same kind of fitness regime that these goalkeepers have got now, there's no reason why they can't go into the mid-40s.
Good stuff. Would you like to hear the table, Rousey?
I'd love to hear the table.
Good stuff. So we have six goalkeepers on seven, but the top two, as things stand, are Josh Keighley with 8 in 18 and Matthew Hudson, as was the case last weekend, still topping the table, 9 in 18 for the Oldham goalkeeper.
Fantastic. Love a clean sheet. There's only one thing that's better than a clean sheet, and that's a clean sheet where you don't have to do anything, because it still goes down in the records that you've kept out the ball. But it's just nice when the defenders do the job for you. You can have a weekend off.
David Rouse, this has been nothing but a pleasure. Thank you very much for your company today.
I've enjoyed it thoroughly, as always. Thank you very much for your company.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers
away.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.